listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Hard Times, Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Michael Oliver with me once again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's good to be back, and it's always good to tell our listeners the place to go to sign up for your excellent newsletter, the one I really can't do without. And you know, once in a while when I don't get it, I send you an email and say, where is my newsletter? And you send it to me faithfully. Well, it is really a very important piece of information to factor into your investing decisions. And the place to go is olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. Michael, I'd like to start off by asking you some sort of macro questions, which might not always ask, but what is your current assessment of the global economy and financial markets at this stage?
I don't think we're headed for recession. I think we're headed for a depression. There's one factor that few people are discussing as part of the mix of the events here, and that's a technical one, but it's also fundamental. The distortions that we've seen from 2009 through 2021 in the stock market, especially the U.S. stock market, particularly the U.S. stock market, thanks to the Fed's QEs repeatedly and effectively interest rates at zero, free money, for a dozen years, we've never had a bull market, quote unquote, I call it bull, that lasted that long and involved that great of a percentage advance. You go back and look at 1923 to 29, look at mid-90s to 2000, look at the 2002 bear low to the 2007 bull peak. None of them were even approached the percentage gains the S&P saw. A sevenfold advance. And the NASDAQ 100 had a 16-fold advance. As a technician, knowing what also was underlying that, if you look at an M2 chart, you can see it, or look at a Fed funds chart, you can see, oh, that's what explains it. When that comes unraveled, and we think it's technically now broken, the bubble is broken, we define the breakage in January for NASDAQ, February for the S&P, turned major bearish at that point. I expect a bear trend, but the problem is we've broken a bubble that is the biggest in U.S. stock market history. Mm-hmm. The Fed thinks they're breaking inflation, and oh, yes, they are. I mean, they created a dozen years of massive inflation, and it went into the stock market instead of commodities. And so their actions, which are designed to, quote, break the stock market, commodity inflation, which is the narrow way they like to define it, it's politically acceptable, is breaking their stock market. It's also breaking muni bonds, high-yield corporate debt, real estate ETFs, et cetera, you name it. But those assets are breaking from the biggest bubble in U.S. history. Therefore, I think the consequences will be far greater than 2009, which everybody vividly remembers, which wasn't just the one percenters getting killed. It was the average guy on the street. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very negative thing. And though right now they like to cite numbers that make us look a little better than Europe and so forth, I don't think it's going to end up that way. Also, I see it globally. We see Europe in dire straits. They're likely in a recession. We know that. Even Bank of America says the U.S. is in one. Okay, China's not behaving well. No, they didn't have a bubble, so they're not going to break like we are. But their market is, they're having real estate problems of significance. Mm-hmm. So it's global. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just U.S., so for the Fed to be looking at U.S. metrics is a joke. You think Europe can go down and China go into a recession and we're not going to join them? So anyway, and again, because of the bubble nature of our market, I think the downside might even be labeled a depression at some point by those who are willing to admit such. So what happens when that perception occurs? What does the central bank do? Well, we know what they'll do. They're going to go nuts. Back the other way, they'll have to. Otherwise, they'll have riots out front of the Fed building.
Yeah. Well, You know, that seems to be obviously what a lot of investors are. As soon as there's a little bit of shift in the wind that looks a little positive, they jump back into the market. They're sure that Powell is going to get in there and start doing what you're saying he's going to do. It's obviously a battle of wills here. The Fed wants people to stop buying stocks. Of course, they keep pushing money into the system, but they want to try to control inflation, I guess. And so they want people to think they're not going to cave, but what you're saying is ultimately they will. They have no choice but
They'll
to do so.
To. They,
but
they,
how
they
far
have
will
their mandate? You know, unemployment's their other mandate. Wait till that shifts, and we think it will dramatically.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And Powell's been talking about the employment situation being so quote unquote strong. I'm not sure how strong it is. That's another issue, but. Well, Michael,
it's
given that
we're leisurely in hotels, okay?
Yeah. Not wealth creating industries actually. And I want to bring up something that Kyle Bass said on an interview. I just saw him talking about. He's just extremely bullish on. He says on the hydrocarbons. He notes that even though these companies are making record profits, there's still money coming out of those sectors because that is. No new capital going in because everybody's intimidated and afraid to invest in those sectors. And he notes that he wants to own things, anything that's mined from the ground that is going to be required for electrification. Well, I would just say, you know, I wonder because there's this concept of malinvestment. I think you were hitting on it. The fact is that money went into the stock market, into all kinds of things with low interest rates, certain kinds of sectors did extremely well, like the high-tech sector and those that don't have any earnings for the foreseeable future. But when interest rates start going up, people start wanting to know, start to look at the real companies, the companies that really produce wealth, I think, Michael. So oil and gas, starting with the minerals from the ground, the real basic wealth-creating industries have to be those things that are not so easy to do. You know, you push buttons and make money that way, you know. So so I guess what I'd like to ask you is what do you think now? You look at your technicals all the time, and you let your technicals do the talking, but you also have a very deep understanding of economics and the markets. You're a free market guy. You understand how these governments are interfering in markets, what damage and devastation they do to us. What do you think, given what we have now, where should we be focusing our investment dollars?
Well, I think Kyle's right. that's one place to focus is the energy sector, and I think natural gas is probably the next headline component there, not so much crude oil. But the issue for the world is not whether they even go a lot higher, it's whether they just hang around up here. We got bullish on natural gas above $2, and again at $4.50, it's now trading between 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. We think it could go probably into the mid-teens, wouldn't surprise us. Crude oil, we got bullish at 40. It's been oscillating either side of 100 down to mid-80s up to 110, let's say. And I think it's likely a range-bound situation for a while, but still at a very high level that is choking. It's choking to other factors like factories, for example, being able to run, make profits, energy costs, and so forth. So I think it will sustain, and I think it probably has more to go. I think food commodities is another area to watch. I think there's a very good chance that the grains are going to attack on another major up leg. I would also watch sugar, something nobody's watching. So I think the commodity complex, which is only a year and a half into a bull trend, and it's only doubled the Bloomberg. And if you look back at the Bloomberg Commodity Index 20 years ago, let's say, we're in the middle of the range. So these people talking about we're at the extreme highs of inflation. Yes, when you measure it by the silly metric of how much increase versus last year, well, commodity prices a year ago or 2 years ago were depressed off the page. So it's quite easy to double commodity prices like that. We're only in the middle of the range going back to 20-some-odd years in the Bloomberg. So there's a lot more room to go. It is a very young bull market. It's only a year and a half old by our metrics. We get bullish in October 2020. Thought there would be a commodity explosion. In fact, there was. And I think what you've had over the last several months is congestion in that sector in the commodity index, preparing for the next up leg. So I think there's more to come there, and I think Powell is going to be a total waste of time stopping that. he tries to liken himself to Volcker, but back in Volcker's time, when he took over the Fed had already been raising rates consistently for 2 years. Fed funds rates were constantly climbing. He joined the Fed and jacked them up to very high levels. But at that point, commodities had already tripled. They were 3 years old on the upside. Gold had gone from $100 to $850 during rising rate period, by the way, during the mid to late 70s. And only then did they peak, and I don't think it was due to Volcker. I think it was simply due to they were through. They had their massive bull market, and so that was the excuse. Well, they raised rates. Well, the rates were rising all during that time. So I think he's likening himself to that commodity inflation then. He's wrong. The thing that was inflated that he's busting is the stock market. The commodity market is by no means comparable to what it was in 1980, where it tripled over a three-year period. So he's got it all wrong, and that's fine. I mean, that's the way it is. You know, it's government, so don't expect more. So I think Kyle's right. I think you've got to look at real assets.
Well, obviously, and I mean, again, a lot of those, at least the big guys like Exxon and some of those are just making tremendous profits, record profits now.
Yeah, and the government's and, complaining about it, you know.
And they're complaining. They probably like to, you know, say they're price gouging or something.
Let's go nationalize let me ask it. Right, you know.
Okay, so, Michael, you believe the, I guess the next shoe is dropping now on the equity market. It looks like it. Do you
I
see?
Think another 100 points down the S&P, and I think that'll get you. You get down around 3,900, and we're trading in the 3,900s right now. Because 3,900, I think the lows that we made just below 3,700 are coming out probably pretty soon, in which case the next leg commences. I'm not looking for a crash. Normal bear markets and stocks don't crash. They go down 10-15%, then they have their bear market rallies to suck in the longs, and then they go for another, you know, it's arduous. And I think it will be arduous and span the next year or two. The consequence on the other side, I think the term recession might be retired.
Right.
At some point down there.
What about then, would you feel safe in, someone that's not a trader, but somebody who has a little longer term perspective, going short on the equity markets, let's say through an ETF like SH,
have a long-term perspective and don't buy puts that expire in 2 months. And
don't
get leveraged and you might even consider a spread position. And frankly, if you'd have shorted the Nasdaq 100 in January when we said or at the end of last year we got bearish in January and bought gold at the same time, you'd be losing right now about 7-8% in gold and making a high double-digit percent in NASDAQ on the short side. So your spread's working out quite good. I also think that gold and silver and the miners, which have been beat up a lot lately, but not gold so much, mainly silver and the miners, are my bet is, personally, that's the place you want to be over the next year or two because those in control of the monetary situation worldwide, not just here, will go back to excess. They have to. They have no choice. That's what they were created for, supporting governments, funding governments. I think we've got political problems coming as well. I don't think there's any political outcome, for example, in the U.S. that's going to end quietly.
No,
period.
It doesn't.
No matter which side wins in this election or the 2024, I don't think there's any outcome that will end with calmness. I'm not going to predict what specifically I'm talking about, but it's not going to be a good outcome. The division will get worse and worse. So that's another factor that's, I don't think, being put into the people's thought process about outcome here.
Well, as long as though interest rates are rising and at least a portion of the market believes that Powell is serious and he's going to actually be the second coming of Volcker, I guess when there's that stance, it's things like gold comes under pressure. The dollar, being the senior currency, has been strong relative to the other fiat currencies.
I'm looking for the dollar to top. I'm going to put out a report today in some depth, and I suggest anybody who considers subscribing to NSA will send them that sample report explaining how the dollar is sometimes correlated to gold and sometimes it is totally not correlated to gold. And we show charts to... Lately, it has definitely been negatively correlated to gold. The dollar has risen sharply. Gold has gone down since the March high. However, if you go back to 2020 through March of this year, in fact, they were in sync with each other. So, yeah. You know, it depends on what time frame you look at. But I think the dollar index has had its little orgy on the upside. And, yes, it's mostly the euro, which is 57% of the dollar index. And I think a lot of bets have been placed. I think the sentiment is overwhelmingly bullish on the dollar. But our technicals, which is what I'm looking at, not the contrary opinion, suggest that, no, we're in a very potentially negative situation for the dollar, such that if this attempted blow-off in the dollar, and by the way, prices are still very low compared to 20 years ago and so forth.
Right.
The dollar index keeps going lower by the decade. So all the talk of the new high dollar for 20 years, yeah, after 20 years has been depressed. But I think if the dollar downticks even a couple points from here, it's trading 108.80. I think you see 106, it's over. And I think a lot of people will be shocked by that. And I think gold will probably go the other way at that point, back to the upside.
It would seem to me that what gold needs and silver probably and maybe some of the other commodities, what they need is to see this pivot, the pivot that everybody's anticipating. But does, I guess Powell's going to keep...
The Fed pivot?
Yeah.
That could be. The dollar is a problem, too, for the central banks because, frankly, it's killing the Europeans and the Japanese in terms of their ability to buy energy and food because their currencies are depreciating compared to ours. I think the notion of reserve currency will be gone in a year or two.
Wow.
I don't think we'll end up with a world where, you know, it's, it used to be the British pound sterling, and then now it's the dollar, and I think that's going to end. I think we'll have multiple currencies that will be competing for that sort of status. And a lot of things are fragmenting, and I think that notion of a sort of a monopoly currency will also go by the way.
Right. Do you think gold might play a role in that, Michael?
I think it would. Definitely think it would. So it's going to be a very interesting time ahead, but it's not a normal downturn in the stock market nor in the economy. This is something much bigger than anybody's talking about.
Right. This is a depression, not a recession, you say.
My bet is that the word comes back into use again.
Well, it's not something we're eagerly looking forward to, but we want to be ready, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to share your thoughts with us, Michael.
Thank you, Jay.
Always great to have you. Okay, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Keith Weiner will be with me to talk about Monetary Metals and the products they have. You know, you can earn interest on your gold that's at least as good as the Treasury interest that you receive these days by buying Uncle Sam's debt. And you get paid back in gold, of course, and so you don't lose your purchasing power while you get that interest, unlike the Treasury. So Keith will be with us to talk about that. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.